Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks again for joining us this week. On this week's podcast, we'll hear from Heather Tallman, Program Director with Indiana Grown, as well as Mark Boyer, owner of Healthy Hoosier Oil, LLC. Both guests will discuss the 2019 hemp growing season and a look ahead at 2020. So let's get started with Heather Tallman, Program Director for Indiana Grown, and that is with the Indiana State Department of Agriculture. Heather, how you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, absolutely. Always great to have folks on that want to talk about hemp, and that's what we're going to do here today. Heather, let's start from the beginning and tell us what exactly you do as program director with Indiana Grown, and what is Indiana Grown? How is that a part of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture? If you can kind of give us a synopsis of that, an overview.
Great. So Indiana Grown was kicked off 5 years ago. It is a local food and agriculture product branding initiative for the state of Indiana. We were one of the last states to form a group like this, so we feel like we have some ground to cover here. So when we kicked off 5 years ago, our initial focus was helping producers within the state of Indiana develop products that wanted to reach retail. And so that was someone looking to diversify, someone who had maybe a barbecue sauce or something that they sold at the farmer's market, maybe teaching them how to scale up into the retail setting. But since then, we have been, I have to say, pretty well received across the state. And we hear from farmers and producers that have a variety of needs. So now we really have restructured our focus to work with farmers and producers on a variety of levels. So when we hear from someone, often they say, I'm new at this, or I want to start growing or producing this, where do I begin? And so the nice part is we can help a lot of food-based entrepreneurs start from the beginning and help navigate them.
So if I have a barbecue sauce, like you said, and I come to you with that, what am I coming to you for, and what can you possibly do for me?
So a lot of times people make something great, their friends love it, and they get told, you should sell this at Kroger, you should sell this at this store or that store.
Right.
And so sometimes when we, by the time they get to us, we test it, we look at it, we talk to them about their goals and their needs. And if they want, we will connect them with our contacts at Kroger, Meadler's, or wherever they're looking at. But a lot of times we look for other avenues in which they can sell while they're trying to work with Kroger. That is not a fast process. And so that is making connections with hospitals, or if they're suitable for a school setting, we will help them make those connections.
And approximately how many Hoosiers do you work with every year in that regard?
So we have about 1,590 members right now.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's a member in every county. Not all of them are active members. A lot of them are a member because we're a no-risk organization and they work in agriculture, so it's a good partnership. But there's a solid 300 to 400 that are very active, but we really like to build a greater community. So that brand and that logo of Indiana Grown means something to consumers and to retail buyers.
Okay. And how has hemp changed what you guys do there, or has it changed what you do? Has it changed the approach of Indiana Grown?
Well, you know, we approach all the members in the same way. So I will say when it comes to hemp, it has been quite an education for me, like any other new product. And so I rely really heavily on our partners, our industry partners, to send me information. I ask them questions. So, for example, I ask Midwest Hemp a lot of questions about what I should know. We have a policy director, so I ask her a lot of questions about what we should know and what this product means looking down the road. How will this be an additive to things already on the market? How can we help educate consumers and retail buyers to understand, you know, the potential for this down the road as an agricultural additive?
And how long, I'm sorry if you've already answered this question, how long has Indiana Grown been established? How long have you been working at that?
So we will hit our 5-year anniversary this July 7th. So not a long time in the scheme of things, but really we've covered a lot of ground in 5 years.
Well, and leading into that then with the 2018 Farm Bill that allowed the growing of hemp in Indiana, again, did that change the way your perspective of Indiana grown? Did it immediately add a different dimension to what you do, or did it take a while to start filtering in there, or has it even filtered in yet?
Well, I think this is going to be a work in progress. You know, we watched the Farm Bill and we're really closely with our administration and with, you know, the state chemist's office, and we followed their lead. So for us, we knew we would have members who were established and new members who were moving in that space. So we just wanted to all work in tandem with as far as what the legislation says and what the state chemist educates us on. We do have members who have established products. They may want to integrate in with hemp. And so we just keep an eye on that so we can kind of stay with the trend and stay with what the current recommendations are.
Okay, Heather, and tell us a little bit about your background and what got you involved with the Indiana Grown program with the Indiana State Department of Agriculture.
So prior to coming to ISDA, I owned and operated a food media company. And what that all that means is that I worked with brands to develop their branding marketing concepts to consumers like me. Mm-hmm. I created recipes and messages around their food products, which they would use. So for example, you could look at certain packages, certain brands, and there are recipes on there that are mine. So I do a lot of recipe development and content development for brands. And so I really parlayed that into only working with Indiana brands. And about that time, I started working with Indiana Grown and ISDA. And so it's a good fit for me.
Talk about some of the other folks, Heather, that you are involved with and the Indiana State Department of Agriculture is involved with the Indiana Grown program regarding the hemp side of things.
So we do have one member who has worked in tandem with not only the State Department of Agriculture, but also the state chemist at Purdue University. And he grew hemp, which he has been testing for hemp oil. So our process there is he let me know what he was going to be doing. We made sure and evaluated this fit within Indiana Grown guidelines so he could put our logo on his packaging like he does his sunflower and canola oil. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the process works. It's been really interesting to see, to kind of test it, see what it's like in the kitchen, you know, that kind of thing, and watch them grow, pun intended, this new area of innovation in agriculture.
And you're talking about Mark Boyer.
Yes, of Healthy Hoosier Oil and Converse.
Right. Yeah, Mark will be on the program here as well. So we'll dig into a little bit of that with him as well. Do you see that as something that will be expanding for Hoosier farmers, people in the production side of hemp?
Yeah, I really think that people will start thinking about ways it can be used outside of just shipping it out of the state. Obviously, we want to keep as much in-state as possible. So building interest, connecting our members with producers and processors who can handle that new innovative product is going to be our challenge and what we look forward to in 2020.
And once again, we're speaking with Heather Tallman, the program director for Indiana Grown, which is a part of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture. And Heather, is there anything else we can add to the conversation this week?
Well, I think if anyone has any questions about the program, they can always reach out to me or go to indianagrown.org. I'm available all the time. And if I don't know the answer, I'm going to connect you with someone who can help you.
And Heather, do you get out to many of the hemp events in Indiana?
Actually, I haven't yet. We did sponsor a booth and table at Hemp at the Crossroads that mm-hmm. happened last year. I'm looking forward to that.
Whoops. Sounds like the alarm's going off there. So sounds like a good time to go ahead and close out this interview. Heather, I know you're busy, but we always appreciate folks taking the time out to come on the podcast. And we certainly hope to talk to you again in the future.
Thank you for having me.
All right, as we continue on the program, Mark Boyer, owner and operator of Healthy Hoosier Oil, LLC in Indiana. Mark, we've had you on the program before. It was a long time ago, so we wanted to catch up with you again. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, we had Mark on, I think, the second or third podcast last year. So it's been a while. We've had an entire growing season, all kinds of things happening. So again, we want to catch up with Mark. But Mark, first, let's kind of backtrack here, get a little bit about your background. What's going on with Healthy Hoosier Oil, LLC?
Well, I'm first and foremost a row crop farmer. And a few years, several years ago, in an effort to add diversity to our simply our crop rotation. We started Healthy Hoosier Oil. It's where we grow primarily sunflowers on our farm, and we have a cold press facility on our farm, and we manufacture cold pressed oil that goes direct from our farm into distribution. It's, you know, that background that led to my interest in hemp and hemp seed oil.
So basically, you just you take the seeds, you crush the seeds, and that gives you the oil out of the seed. Is that a kind of a simplistic way to look at it?
Correct. That is pretty much it in a nutshell. It's simply a cold press. The hemp seed oil is very fragile. It doesn't hold up to heat very well. So the only way to extract culinary oil out of the grain is through cold press process that we already use on our farm with our sunflower oil. So that really was what rooted my interest in growing hemp several years ago, actually.
Right. And again, let's get to the hemp growing side of things. You were one of the first people that were able to grow hemp in Indiana. You had a 12 acre crop that was kind of a test crop. And that's kind of what kicked off all the growing here in Indiana.
Well, 2 years ago, I was able to form a relationship with Purdue University Agronomy, and I wasn't the first to raise hemp in Indiana, but I believe I probably was the first one to put it in what I would consider a traditional row crop agricultural setting. That really was kind of the first step into that. Now, we made a lot of mistakes along the way. I've learned a lot of things. Last year, we increased the acreage to 50 in an effort to kind of step into a little closer to scale growing.
Right.
Had a lot of challenges last year. And there again, we learned a lot of things. And a lot of times the things we learn by doing it wrong. this, of course, was kind of the same thing as when we were working through learning how to grow sunflowers. So it does have a lot of similarities with kind of what we've already been through.
Now, again, you started with 12 acres of hemp. You said you went to 50 acres last year. Last year was the first year that most farmers were able to grow. So they've got 1 year of experience. You've got a couple years of experience with the hemp seed in the ground. So tell us kind of the differences between, let's say, the first year and the second year. We know last year there was a lot of rain that stunted some of the farmers early on. But again, you've had a couple seasons to grow. Tell us some of the differences in those two seasons and what you were up against.
Well, in the 2018 season, things kind of played into my hand a little bit better than in the 19 season. We were so far behind the eight ball, and the crop was planted so late simply because of the weather conditions. And it was the same way across kind of the whole Midwest with all crops. So we got the crop out considerably late. It didn't get very tall, not nearly as tall as it did in the 18 season because the growing season was dramatically shorter, and it didn't reach canopy, and we had a lot of weed pressure, and we had a lot of challenges last year. However, we did learn a lot of things about this crop, I was ready to get 19 behind me a little bit, but we're going into 20 with maybe a little bit better educated. Each year always seems to have its own set of challenges, but the challenges last year were pretty dramatic. Like I mentioned, did a few things wrong, did a few things right, and we'll go into 2020 and hoping for the best that Mother Nature will cooperate with us just a bit better.
And Mark, when you talk about the growing season with those crops, tell us calendar wise, what is the growing season for hemp?
Well, typically, I think ideally, just in my own couple years of experience, and of course, we're still learning, the fact that this crop is day length sensitive, it needs to be planted fairly early. It needs to be planted about the same time that we're planting our other commodity crops. I think if you're looking at planting field corn, you need to be thinking about planting hemp. It does seem to be able to take a frost, which is something that has been dramatically surprising about this crop. It's kind of strange. It's really, really wimpy in some ways and very, very durable in other ways. And it does seem to be able to take a light frost. So I think early planting is going to be ideal for hemp here in Indiana.
And Mark, did you have any trouble with your THC levels in your plants?
No, had no trouble. They were well under the threshold. And I think that is pretty common in a grain crop. It seems like grain, that is much less of a problem for the most part.
Gotcha. Where do you see the 2020 season going for you and other Hoosier farmers here, Mark?
Well, for 2020, at least in my own operation, we're going to kind of gear up, cross our fingers, gear up, and plant this crop to what I would consider to scale. We have hopes that we're going to get a good yield. We have some a little bit more experience than we've had previously, and to a certain extent, we're just kind of go for it and hope things work out, at least my own operation. And I think there's a lot of folks that kind of have maybe the same idea in mind, that it's time we do this to scale and to see and really, really test the economics of this crop.
And unlike the other row crops that you have, do you enter the season looking at it like we could possibly lose everything we're putting into this year as far as the hemp side of things? Or are you pretty confident you're going to make a profit off of it?
Now, in agriculture, as a farmer, we're very, very used to risk. That's just kind of something that we deal with every single year. And I will say that hemp is dramatically more risky than any of our other crops. So you go in expecting the worst, but you hope for the best. And that's really, really critical with hemp. I get questioned a lot. A lot of folks ask, well, we're interested in growing hemp, and how much of our acreage should we commit to hemp? And it's never the answer that anybody wants to hear, but I always tell everybody, well, absolutely no more than you can afford to teetotally lose. There are some reliefs coming in that in the form of federal crop insurance for hemp, and that's something that's very needed and very exciting. However, there's some challenges associated with hemp, especially when you get into the THC. With the new federal crop insurance, if your crop tests hot, the crop insurance will not cover that. So there's still some pretty dramatic risk associated with hemp.
And sorry if you've already answered this in our conversation, but again, in 2018, it was 12 acres. 2019 was 50. How many acres do you plan on putting in this year?
We're planting 130 acres, and the idea being that is to scale for our oil extraction operation. Takes quite a few acres of grain to make oil. It's a fairly inefficient extraction. Hemp is not a real big oil maker. However, it does yield very, very high quality, healthy oil. So we're hoping that we can establish a market for that in 2020, but we're rolling the dice just a little bit, and a little bit more dramatic fashion than we have in the two previous years.
And once again, we're speaking with Mark Boyer, owner and operator of Healthy Hoosier Oil LLC here in Indiana. And Mark, I know here in the next few weeks, you guys are launching some your hemp oil products. So that's got to be very exciting for you.
It is really exciting. It's been several years of work and a lot of time spent at the State House working on legislation. And it's been a long time coming. I'm really excited about it. I've been kind of dragging my feet just a bit on launching our product. And because of the poor yields last year, I don't have a lot of crop. But we're going to go ahead and launch because I think finally we're in a position to where the regulatory is close enough that we can go ahead and go. My concern up to this point is I didn't want any gray areas or to do anything least bit questionable with the regulatory. So we've decided that we're going to go ahead and launch, and we're real excited about it.
And how can people get information once you do make that launch? How will they be able to get a hold of the product, and where can they get that information?
Well, when we launch, there again, I have a very limited crop. So at this point, we're not going to put the oil into our distribution network. We're going to simply sell the oil at our retail location in Converse, Indiana, which is Rachel's Taste of Indiana. Heading in the next couple of weeks, that's where it's going to be on the store shelf.
Okay, well, they won't be able to pick that up online?
No, we will not be offering that online. It'll simply be in the retail store. Now, if everything goes to plan, which sometimes things don't tend to do, but next year we'll have enough crop that we can use our distribution chain and offer the product online and through our distribution network.
Well, but. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Yeah, but this year, because we're so limited in crop, we're just going to launch at our own store for now.
All right. Well, looks like a trip to Converse, Indiana is in store then to get some of that hemp seed oil.
Well, we sure hope so. We're real proud of our retail location, and we highlight many other great Indiana-based products that we're real proud of.
And give the name of the retail location one more time.
Retail location is Rachel's Taste of Indiana. Rachel is my wife.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is that online at all anywhere? Do you have a Facebook page, anything like that?
You can find her on Facebook.
Once again, Mark Boyer, owner and operator of Healthy Hoosier Oil LLC. Mark, is there anything else we need to hit on today?
I think that does kind of cover it. We're looking forward to getting out in the fields this spring, and we just need to kind of got our fingers crossed that Mother Nature cooperates. We'll move on to and proceed, and hopefully things will go well.
There we go. That we all have our fingers crossed this season, Mark.
Thank you. I sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on.
Yep. Thank you.
And that's going to do it for our show this week. Thanks for listening to the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. You can find more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, as well as our entire catalog of podcasts, on our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more. So long, everybody.